had presented the argument between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan that they are arguing about the question about Moda B'Shtar Shekasvo, that if one person admits that he wrote the Shtar, does that now mean that the other person no longer needs to validate the Shtar? Because once one person admits that he wrote the Shtar, so it's impossible for him to knock out its power. Because once he said he wrote it, if he's going to claim he wrote it, but it was a draft, or it was already paid, it was a matna shtiv mara, none of that is believed. So that's the argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And we saw that that's one of the proposals. But that's the issue being fought about in our Mishnah, whether the recipient of the gift has to prove that the gift giver was healthy when he gave the gift, or it's enough for him, or he with witnesses, or all he needs to do is to just prove that the document is a good document. So this question perhaps is revolving around this issue. If you say that the gift recipient just has to validate the document, then you would be saying that Moda B'Shtar Shekasvo, once someone admitted to writing the document, so even so, Tzarech L'Kaimo, that doesn't yet mean that he can't knock out the document. He could still knock out the document. He could say, well, it's still a meaningless document because I was a Shchiv Mara when I wrote that document. So if you want it to work, you need to validate it. Whereas the view that said there was no need to validate the document holds that Moda B'Shtar Shekasvo Eino Tzarech L'Kaimo. Once one person admitted to writing the Shtar, so then there's no longer a need to validate it, and we don't trust him when he claims, oh, I was a Shchiv Mara at the time of the writing of the Shtar. So question.
Is there any difference between him writing the Shtar or somebody else writing for him? Or is
it's always thing? Someone else who writes. He commissioned it.
Commissioned it too.
So the Gemara said, how could Reish Lakish challenged Rav Yochanan? Well, if you're going to say that this is an issue of Moda B'Shtar Shekasvo, Tzarech L'Kaimo or not, but what about the fact that we learned in a brice in the name of Bar Kapara that there is actually a point of view that a person can claim that a shtar, he did write it, but it was just, you know, a draft shtar, or it was a shtar based on trust. So does that mean that there is such a point of view that Moda B'Shtar Shekasvo, that once somebody... And another point of view says he can't do that. So does that mean that Moda B'Shtar Shekasvo, if somebody admitted to the shtar, ain't Tzarech L'Kaimo, that there are those who say at that point, that's it, you can't make any added claims once you admit to the shtar. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, no, I think Divrei HaKol Moda B'Shtar Shekasvo ain't Tzarech L'Kaimo. I think everybody agrees that once there was an admitting to the shtar, he can't claim anything further, like, oh, it was a shtar of a shchiv mara, or it was a draft shtar. So Gemara says, how could you say everybody agrees to that? But there's an argument. It's not going through the Mishnah. Even if two witnesses, the Bryce is talking about a case where witnesses come and say, it's our signature, but we were forced. So the Bryce says, Einem anam l'posel, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that the witnesses who claim they were forced to sign the shtar are not believed. Chachamim say they are believed. So one second, why would they not be believed? Must be because since he already admitted that he wrote the shtar, so now there's no longer a need for them to validate it. So Amar Lei, Sir Biochan said to Reish Lakish, Yedim Alim Yumari Shtara. If I say that, I agree that there's some who hold that witnesses can invalidate a shtar, and you need kiyum, but ihu kol kamine. But where did we ever see that a person himself is believed to say, "Yes, I wrote the shtar, but there's a problem in the shtar. It was a shtar shchiv mera, it was a shtar pasim, or it was a shtar amana. So Amar Lei, this is what we had gotten up to. So Rish Lakish said back to Rabbi Yochanan, "Valo mishimcha amru," but in your name they said in the story of the case where the family members protest, how could the son have sold father's land before he died? The son was a minor when he died. So Yerub Yochanan said, "Yafa Yerub bnei mishpacha." That was a good protest on the part of the people of the family. Now what's going on there? That's basically Moda Bishtar Shekasvo. We're on Kufnun Daladam and Beis. We're on Kufnun Daladam and Beis, I guess, 15 lines or so up. So Yafiru B'nei Mishpacha, you said that the family who protested saying that the son was too young to sell was right in their protest. So what's going on there? Basically, they're admitting that there is a shtar, but because we only know that there's a shtar based on their admitting, so they are right when they protest it. So you see the modu b'shtar shekasv, even after you admit to the shtar, there needs to be a validation, and you can still knock it out. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rish Lakish, Zo Elazar Amra. That was said by Elazar, my student, that it was the family members were right to protest. Ani lo amarti davar zeh me'olam. I never said it. Amar Reb Zeira said, Yichvu Rabbi Yochanan b'Elazar Talmido. Right, if Rabbi Yochanan is going to claim that what Rabbi Elazar, his student, said he didn't agree with, but still, Yichbar Bar Rabbi Yanai Rabbo, is he going to argue with what his teacher Rabbi Yanai said? So I'm Rabbi Yanai, I'm a Rebbe. Rabbi Yanai says in the name of Rebbe, Modu B'shtar Shekasvo, even after a person admits to writing a shtar, Tzarech L'kaimo, he can still knock it out, and there's a need for the other person to validate it. So I'm a Le Rabbi Yochanan, that's what the view of Rabbi Yanai, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Rebbe, my teacher, why'd you have to tell us this? That's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah here in Basra. The Mishnah says that if we have a situation, the recipient claims that the gift was given when the giver was healthy. The giver claims he gave the gift when he was very sick. Now that he's recovered, he can retract. The sages say, the recipient has to prove that he's right. And we know, what does it mean he proves that he's right? Ein raya l'bekiyum hashtar. He proves he's right by validating the document. That's all he has to do, just get witnesses to confirm that it's their signature. So what's pshat? Why is that a proof? Because what are we talking about? Where the gift giver is saying, yes, I admit to the shtar, but it's not a good shtar because it was a shtar when I was deathly ill. So we're saying that even though he admitted, the other side has to validate the shtar, because once he says, I was deathly ill when I wrote the shtar, that knocks out a shtar, even though he had admitted to the shtar. So you see the modu b'shtar shekasvo, even though he admitted to the shtar, the other side needs to validate it. So,
Rabbi, this shtar is not mentioning what is helpful.
Correct. Didn't mention one way or the other, as we saw yesterday.
That says the 90% and 10% in it.
That no, it said 100%. So that he gave away everything.
He gave away everything. Okay. And then still he could knock it down?
Yeah, because he's saying
he was 90-10. Like,
no, 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 no. He gave away everything. But he's claiming he was a sick man at the time of the shtar. So Reb Zeira now answers the view of Reb Yochanan. Bram nirin divir Rabbeinu Yosef. However, the answer is from Rabbeinu Yosef. Tam Rabbeinu Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yudah Mar Shmuel. Rabbeinu Yosef said the name Rabbi Yudah in the name of Shmuel. Zoo, this case of Moda B'shtar Shekasvo that we say already, that's too late, Ein Tzarech L'kaimo, that's Divrei Chachamim, that Brice of Bar Kapara, that's the sages of our Mishnah. Av Rabbi Meir Omer, but Rabbi Meir, who says that you don't need a proof, and the gift recipient is going to collect even without proving anything. Why? Because Moda B'shtar Shekasvo. Because once somebody, I'm sorry, Meir holds Meir holds Mode b'shtar shekasvel should tzarech l'kaimer. Meir holds that if you admit to a shtar, you do need to validate it. But my dear Yaakov, what did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he says everybody agrees that, right, we had said earlier, Rabbi Yochanan said everybody agrees Mode b'shtar shekasvel, he doesn't need to validate it. It means Rabbanu l'gabed Rabbi Meir dir v'yakolhi. When you have the Rabbanu against Rabbi Meir, so since halach is like the Rabbanu, it's like if everybody you holds that way. So I said, 1 second, v'yipchatzna, but you're mixing up the opinions. Because our Mishnah says the opposite. Our Mishnah says, chachamim omer mamotzim echaber olav araya. The chachamim say that the gift recipient has to validate the shtar. And Rabbi Meir says he doesn't need to validate the shtar. So it's against what you're saying. You're saying the exact opposite. So Ipuch, we have to switch around who says what in our Mishnah. We have to switch around who says what in our Mishnah. And say that in our Mishnah, it's actually the Chachamim say that the gift recipient wins the case. And it's Rabbi Meir who says that the gift recipient has to validate the shtar. So Gemara asks, Iva Tanya Builant in a Braisa, that if the witnesses come and claim on a shtar that the person had admitted to, that they did write their names, but they were forced. Einemon l'posel divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir says they're not believed. The chachamim neemanim. Chachamim say they are believed. So you see that according to Rabbi Meir, mode b'shtar shekasvo, once a person admitted, that's it. He can't knock it out anymore. Ein tzarech l'kaimo. And you just said that according to Rabbi Meir, mode b'shtar shekasvo, tzarech l'kaimo. So I said, okay, ipuch, flip that one too. Again, switch, who said what? But we have another problem. For Rabbi Yochanan, Raya Beidim Kama, Rabbi Yochanan says in our Mishnah, that when the Mishnah says that the person who has the gift, he has the gift recipient, he has to prove that in fact the gift giver was healthy when he gave the gift. It doesn't mean that he validates the shtar. He actually comes with witnesses that the gift giver was healthy. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. So apparently, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there isn't an argument about Moda B'Shtar Shekasva. So Gemara says, Ipuch, again, you have to flip it. It's not Rabbi Yochanan who said that, it was Rish Lakish who said that. So Gemara says, well, if you're flipping so many things, Leima Leipuch Nami Tiyufta. So then when we began the Amud saying that Rabbi Yochanan asked the question on Rish Lakish, maybe we should say it the other way. It's Rish Lakish who asked Rabbi Yochanan. Gemara says, "Lo, no, you don't have to switch that. We could still keep it as Rabbi Yochanan asking Reish Lakish." So again, we're saying now that according to Reish Lakish, there is an argument about Moda B'Shtar Shekasvo, whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, the issue of the Mishnah is different. Everybody agrees that even Moda B'Shtar Shekasvo Tzarech L'Kaimo. But rather, the issue of the Mishnah is about the question of do you have to bring in witnesses to prove that the gift giver was healthy when he gave the gift. So what was the question? Hachi kamar le Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. This is what Rabbi Yochanan tells Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan quotes this story about a man in Bnei Brak who dies, and he leaves over his assets to a child, and the child sold all the assets, and now the heirs come with a complaint. They say, oh, the child died. He was a child. He was younger than 12. The deal never worked. So we want the assets back. So the recipients say, no, you're not going to get the assets back. We paid for it. So they go to Rabbi Akiva. They say, we want to open up the tomb to see that he was a child and that the deal didn't work. So Hachi Kamalei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rish Lakish like this, Bishmul didi damina raya b'kiyam ashtar. According to me that I say that in our Mishnah, all the gift recipient needs to do is just validate his document, and then already he'll get his gift. That's how the buyers could have the objects, because they validated the document. El didach, but according to you, Damarta, that you say, Raya Be'edim, that a gift recipient can't just validate the document. He has to prove that the gift giver was healthy when he gave the gift with witnesses. So, Eichim Eshkach, so Denachti Lekuchos Limpinachasim, so how did these buyers even enter into these fields. Amale, so Reish Lakish says back to Rabbi Yochanan, Modin lochabir de bnei mishpacha, I'll agree to you that in that case where the family members were protesting, that no, the buyers were entitled to enter the fields. To lav irahu, because their protest wasn't a protest. My comment, what are they going to claim? Katan haya, that the child when he sold was a minor. Chazaka in edim chosmen al ashtar lam kenasa begadol. Witnesses don't sign a document that's a fraud. Witnesses only sign a document that's a legitimate document. So there was a document here signed. So of course it was a legitimate document. So therefore, since it was a legitimate document, that's why the buyers could take the fields, because there's a very strong assumption that it's a legitimate document. And that's why the other relatives were coming and claiming, no, it wasn't a legitimate document. It wasn't a very good claim. They went to Rabbi Akiva. They said, we can prove it's not a legitimate document. We can prove that he's a minor. Let us open up the grave. And Rabbi Akiva said, no, you can't open up the grave because that would be disgracing the dead body.
He had no relationship biological between him and the child. That child, no, right?
Who had no relationship?
The giver.
That's a different case.
No. Here, he gave the gift to a child.
He didn't give a gift. He died. His child inherited. Then the child sold it. And the child died. And now the other relatives are claiming that this child was a minor when he sold.
One question on document certification, that whole concept. Mm-hmm. What good does it do? Because the guy already admitted he wrote the document. So the fact that he certifies the document, what's he coming to?
Well, that's the question. The question is, when someone admits, does that mean that that's it? You don't need any do anymore? Or do we say, that once he admits, it's only part of it, let's hear the rest of what he says. He can still knock it out. If he can knock it out because of a migu, he could have claimed it was false, that's why he's believed to say it was a gift of a shiv marar, or that it was a gift that was paid off, or a loan that was paid off. So then, once you certify it, he doesn't have the miku.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. Shiv marar.
Yeah.
What's the duration of time? Because it seems that there's last couple of days.
No, any time. No, any person. Well, he recovers, but a shiv marar means any person who gives a gift because he thought he was dying. So within the category of matna shtivmara.
But it seems that once he gets better, all those things disappear. So how?
Well, that's the whole point. If he gave everything, then he can retract it. Yeah, because he's very, very ill.
Do you need a doctor to certify that he's got?
What was his psychology?
He has to have given everything in order to retract.
To be able to retract, yes.
That we know, right.
So in this case, here, because there were Adim, we're assuming Adim knew the halacha that the minor couldn't sell property, so just correct. By the virtue
right.
of the
course. Yeah. So now we're going to learn what's.
Excuse me, Rabbi. Yeah. A little earlier yeah. that, I forget what it was back and forth, but basically what came out was most people who fall sick get up.
Yes.
So right. why do we even have this concept?
No,
because
we do.
Dying but, just because he's sick. Most people get up.
No, because we don't want him to panic when he's so sick. If he couldn't give away his assets, he might panic.
So not make him worse. Most people get up. Individuals panic regardless, right?
Yeah.
Adam hasal memono.
Also true. So now the Gemara is going to introduce an interesting halacha. That is that normally we know a person is an adult once he's 13 years old and he has two pubic hairs. Now an adult normally has das. Now someone who has das can accomplish things. But the rabbis made an enactment. The same way they made an enactment that a shchiv mara's words give away assets, they made an enactment that if a person inherits property, he can't sell it. If a person would buy property, so then he invested money, he values what he invested. But if he inherits property, so he doesn't appreciate that it was hard to achieve. He thinks easy come, it'll come again easily. Mm-hmm. And he's a teenager. Teenagers are immature. So he might sell the property that he inherits for a price that's not a good price. So the sages therefore said that at a certain age he still can't sell. And he can only sell the property he inherits once he's at age 18 or at age 20. So that's what we're going to see now. It's a takana drabana. Itmar, we learned, katan, a child, a minor, me'ema saimocher b'nichsei aviv. How old does he have to be for his sales of property that he inherited from his father to last? Rava Rav Nachman Shmona Esrei Shana. Rava says the name of Rav Nachman 18. And Avuna Bar Chinuna Amar Rav Nachman. Avuna Bar Chinuna claims the name of Rav Nachman Ben Esrim Shana. It's got to be 20. So Masiv Rav Zera. Rav Zera challenged this idea that he has to be 20 from the story that we've been dealing with. What was the story? Ma'aseh b'Bnei Brak. There was a story in B'nei Brak. Ve'echad shemachar b'nichsei aviv. A child that inherited his father's lands, and he sold them. U'meis, and then the child died. Uvo b'nei mishpacha, then the relatives of this child came. Ve'iru lomar, they protested, they claimed. Katanai b'shayas misa, he was a child when he died. So certainly he was a child when he sold, and the sales never worked, therefore we inherited. They went to Rabbi Akiva, they said, we want to open up the grave to check it out to prove that we're right. Amalehem, he said to them, no, you're not allowed to disgrace him. And furthermore, even if you would open up the grave, you wouldn't be able to prove anything, because even if you didn't find any pubic hairs, that doesn't mean that he was a minor. Maybe he had pubic hairs, and in the grave, the pubic hairs fell out. Now, if you're going to tell me that a child, an heir who inherits his sales work from the age of 18, that's why they're coming to Rabbi Akiva, and they're saying, let's check him out. Let's open up the grave. Why? Because if they open the grave and there are no pubic hairs, then clearly he was a minor. If the buyers are right, there should be pubic hairs here, because it could only work if he's an 18-year-old. So an 18-year-old's going to have pubic hairs. After 13, he'll have pubic hairs. But, Eliyamid, but if you're going to tell me, Ben Esrim, that he only can sell once he's 20. So, Kibat Kilei Mai Havi, what's going to be? They're saying, let's check. We'll open up. So what? Let's say they check and there's no pubic hairs. That doesn't prove that he was a minor and not 20. Could be he's a saris. Maybe he's a eunuch. A eunuch is someone who is an adult, but he doesn't have the physical features of hair. So kibat kilei mai havi. What would they gain by opening up the grave? But now we lived in a Mishnah in Yevamos. Ben Esrim Shalohevi Shtei Sairos. If a person is 20 and he doesn't have two pubic hairs, Yavu Rayashu Ben Esrim. He can just prove that he's 20 years old, like witnesses with or a birth certificate, whatever. Who has Saris, and that's a eunuch. And then Lochol Tzvulamiyabit. A eunuch can't do any Yibum, because the whole point of Yibum is to marry the sister-in-law in order to create more children. He can't create children. So he doesn't have Yibum, nor does he have to give Chalitz.
But
so,
those families, they had no right to protest anyhow. So
why do they have no right to protest?
Because as a child, and he inherited his father's.
As a child, why he can't sell. If he's a minor, now we're saying even older than a minor. If he's younger than 18 or younger than 20, there's a rabbinic law that the sale doesn't work.
So the protest here is because he sold them, not because he inherited them.
They're claiming it wasn't a sale.
Below market.
So now they can inherit it.
It's the boy's family.
They claim there never was a sale.
Sold $1 million house for $100,000, you can buy an Xbox.
You know, he makes bad decisions, exactly. So the Gemara says, Lav Itmar Allah, but didn't we learn about that? That Amar Rav Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav, that when is a 20-year-old considered a eunuch because he doesn't have hairs? V'hu shenoldu bo simanei saris, as long as there are other signs on his body that he's a eunuch. So that's what they were saying. Let's be able to open up the grave, and we will be able to prove it. If there are no hairs, we know he's not going to be an adult. What are you going to say? He was a eunuch, but then there should be the signs of the saris on his body. If we don't have the signs of the saris, we know he wasn't an adult. Amarava, Rava said, you're right. Ekonami, that's a good proof to Ketani, because it said in that Mishnah, the hu hasaris, if he's 20 years old without the hairs, he is the one who's the eunuch. He's the eunuch, Shmamina, that there are the proofs that he's a eunuch. So now the Gemara says, this is not really relevant to our discussion, it takes us back to Yevamos. V'chilo noldu lo simanei saris ad kama. Let's say a person's body never matures. He doesn't have hairs. He also doesn't have the signs of a eunuch. So at what age would we say he becomes an adult? Tani Reb Chiya had Rov Shnosav till the majority of a person's lifetime. In other words, most people live to 70. Once he's 36, at that point, he is an adult. Okay. Talking about, again, some halachos about signs of adulthood. He also accommodated Reb Chiya when a person would come in front of Reb Chiya and he didn't have any pubic hairs, but he's old enough, he's 14, he's 15. So Ikachesh, if he was very thin, Amar Le Reb Chiya would tell him, Livri, all right, gain some weight, get healthier. The Ivri, and if he was healthy with lots of weight, Amar Lehu, he would tell him, Likchush, lose some weight. Dani Simani, because these pubic hairs, Zimnudasu Machmas Kishusa, sometimes they appear because of losing weight. Zimnudasu Machmas Piusa, sometimes they appear because of gaining weight. All right, going back to the discussion. Okay, we introduced a new idea. Normally, when a person is 13 years old and he has hairs, at that point he's an adult, he's a bendas, he can do anything. He can get married, he can buy, he can sell. But we're saying that's true about regular properties. However, the properties that he inherits from his father, since it came easy, he's not going to treasure it. Since he's not going to treasure it, we're worried that his being a teenager will lead him to make a rash decision. And the sage has instituted that he can't sell those properties until he's 18 or until he's 20. And that sheds added light on that discussion about the story in Nebrak, where the person sold properties he inherited, and then he died, and the relatives came and claimed he was too young to sell. They were claiming one of these things. He was younger than 18, younger than 20. They were claiming a claim like this. Ibailu, they had a question about this halacha. Tochzman kilifnezman or kilacharzman. Within this 18th year or 20th year, is that considered like younger than 18 that he can't sell, or is it like over 18 that he could sell? So Rav Amar Rav Nachman tochzman kilifnezman. Within the 18th year, it's like before 18, and he can't sell. Rav Abar Rav Shilam Rav Nachman Tovzman Kal Acharzman. However, Rav Abar Rav Shilam says the name of Rav Nachman within the 18th year. It's like after the 18th year, and it does work. V'hadir Rava, this lesson of Rava, Lava Feirish Itmar L'Mechlala Itmar. It wasn't explicit. It was based on trying to derive something from a story. It was the following story. Dahu Tovzman, there was a guy who was within the 18th year. Da'azel Zavanichsi went and he sold lands that he inherited from his father. Vasalakami de Rava, he went in front of Rava, Amalulu Asavlo Klum. Rava said, sorry, it was no deal. So man de Chazar Savamishum de Tochzman Kilifnezman. So people who saw it figured because Rava is paskening within the 18th year, is like before 18. Valori, but that's not really the story of what happened there. Hasam Shtusi Yaser to Chazabei. He saw that the guy was immature, he was very foolish. What was the proof that he was so crazy? He was freeing his slaves. That's a crazy thing. Why would a person free his slaves? So the fact that he was freeing his slaves showed that he was immature. Therefore, Rava said, this is where you have the takana, that a guy who's immature, we don't allow him to sell his father's property yet. He's got to grow up. So that's what was going on there, but not a general rule that within the 18th year is always like before the 18th year. And he can't sell. Yeah, please, a story.
We spend a lot of time talking about they're going to dig him up, and they're going to see if he's of age and everything like that.
Yeah.
And either I missed it or I didn't understand it. And where did we leave off with the witnesses? If the witnesses doesn't matter.
We didn't have witnesses in that case.
Oh, all witnesses,
that would be better. That's right. Shalach leGidol Bar Menashe leRava. Gidol Bar Menashe sent a message to Rava. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu. Our teacher should teach us. What about the following? Tinokes basarba esrei shana v'yom echad. Now, till now, we've been talking about land. Now we're going to talk about something else. What happens if you have a young girl who's 14 and a day, but yodas betiv maso matan mahu? She's really very capable in business. She understands business. She's good at business. So, is she able to sell the land she inherits from her father, even though she's not 20? Shalach le, so Rava sent back to Gidol Bar Menashe, Miodas Betiv Maso Matan. If she's really very good in business, then The sages didn't make their rule. And then mikchamekachumem karamekar. And then her sales would work. So the Gemara asks the Lishloch Leitinok, why didn't he ask him about a boy? So the Gemara says, what happened was, it was with a girl. Lishloch Leitinokos pashtei mesei shanav yom echad. Well, once you're talking about a girl, to ask about 12 in a day. Now again, she happened to have been 14. That was the story. Hahu pachos me esim. There was someone younger than 20. The azel zabin nichsei. He went and he sold the land that he had inherited from his father, like this law of Gidol Bar Menashe, because he was known as a someone who understands business. So then he was allowed to sell land. So asal kamed Rava. So he went to Rava to complain because he said, you know what, I made a bad deal. So I couldn't sell because I was too young and I don't know business. So the relatives gave him the following advice. They said, so go eat dates and throw the pits in the house of Rava. So then you'll act like an immature person. And then Rava will say, oh, you know, really, he doesn't know business. And therefore the deal wasn't good. So the Gemara is going to say a whole story where he went back and forth. He threw pits. And then he went and he did something which was intelligent. So Rava ultimately said, well, you are intelligent enough. You just happen to be a mechutzef. That's why you threw pits at me, and the deal ends up standing.
Act like it should take.
How do we have a general rule?
It's true. That's it, right. It's rare to have such a thing like that. That's right.
Rabbi, they let them get married at the age of 9. They can't sell land at the age of 14.
That's true.